You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
Last week, we taught on Wednesday night on three keys to answered prayer. Anybody remember that? Us teaching on that? That find the will of God and then pray in the name of Jesus and pray in faith. And if you don't know what the will of God is, you've got no assurance of getting what you're praying for. And if you're not praying in Jesus' name, you've got no right to pray. And if you're not believing, don't waste your time or God's either. Amen?
Amen.
And that's pure and simple. And that's all in the Scripture when you pray, to pray in faith, to believe. When you pray, believe you receive these things you pray for, and you shall have them. All things you ask in prayer, believing you shall receive. That's what the Scripture says. Mark 11:24 and Matthew 21:22. And Hebrews 11:6 tells us that without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Meaning that I first have to believe in God or I wouldn't be praying to him. And then I need to believe that he will reward me when I come to him, or I'm not going to waste my time and I shouldn't waste his. So when you come to pray, pray in faith. Don't just haphazardly pray. I know sometimes we're praying for other people and we don't always know, you know, how they're going to respond. We intercede. That's different. There are different rules for intercessory prayer as opposed to petitionary prayer. If you're praying for something for yourself, that's different than praying for someone else. Are you with me? And so it's different rules. It's all prayer. It's just like ball games. There's basketball. There's football. Are you out there? There's baseball. But there's different rules for different ball games. We just call it all ball games, but there are different rules for those games. And prayer, same way. I mean, there's different rules for... Often you hear this about Jesus, you know, they always want to throw the Garden of Gethsemane out and says, even Jesus our Lord prayed, if it be thy will. Yeah, but what he was praying for was trying to get out of doing what God wanted him to do by giving him another avenue. Not by not doing the will of God. I mean, he was not struggling with that, but he was hoping there was another way. If this possible, let this cup pass. If not, your will, not mine, be done. He wasn't praying for healing. He wasn't praying to be saved. He wasn't praying for forgiveness. Hello? Are you out there? He was praying about a calling that he knew God had told him to do something in particular, which is die. And he said, Lord, if it's possible, let this cup pass. But if not, your will, not mine, be done. Is there another way? He wasn't backing up on the will. He'd done whatever God said, but he was hoping maybe there's another way than have to submit to this ignominious death, you know. But he, in essence, found out there was no other way, and so he did what God said to do. So contrary to what we often hear about that prayer, you know, people say, well, you just don't know what God will do. You don't know what the will is. Even Jesus, our Lord, said, not my will, but thine be done, you know. Well, Jesus knew what the will of what God's was. So the only way you could pray that prayer is you'd have to know what the will of God was and hoping that there was another way that God had plan B. You'd have to be fully convinced and aware of what God's will was. In his case, he knew what it was. It was to go to the cross and die. He was looking for a plan B, if there was one, and there wasn't. Nevertheless, not my will but yours be done. So, you know, if you're going to apply that to healing, you'd have to say, well, by stripes we're healed. I am the Lord God that healeth thee. Pray one for another that you may be healed. Okay, we know God wants us healed. But, Lord, I really don't want to be healed. But now, Lord, I come to you knowing that you want me to be healed. And if that's what you want, I will. If there's another way to do this other than me being healed, that's your will, let me know, but not my will, but yours. And then you wind up submitting to healing because you knew what that his will is. That's not that convoluted. That actually is exactly what was going on there. Jesus knew what it was. He was hoping there was another way. There wasn't. Fine. He would do it, and he did it. So don't use that prayer for healing. That's not a prayer for healing. That's not a prayer for to be saved. That's not a prayer to be forgiven. That's not a petitionary prayer. That's not what he's talking about. That was a calling and a mission that God had given him. Hello. You know, God called me to... pastor to come to Wills Point, Texas. At the time, I didn't know anything about Wills Point, Texas. At the time, I was in a large church in Houston, Texas, Lakewood Church. At the time when that came, I thought that was the devil, and I rebuked the devil. I mean, when I'd pray, it would come up to go to Wills Point, Texas. And after praying, you know, continually praying, days, weeks, whatever, I realized that was not the devil. It would not go away. That was God calling me to come to Wills Point, Texas. And you know what I did? I submitted to it. Hello. Because you're not going to fight God on a calling. Are you with me? Or a mission. If God tells you to do something, you need to do it. Hallelujah. Okay, but that's not what we were talking about last Wednesday, three keys to answered prayer. We're talking about petitionary prayer. That's not what we're talking about tonight either. And out of Ephesians 1. I got on late tonight, didn't I? Goodness. Okay, I'll get you out at 15 after. How's that sound? Okay. Wow. Man, I didn't spend that much time talking, did I? Okay, Ephesians 1. You know, I heard Brother Osteen, John Osteen, Joel Osteen's father, preach a message on this Ephesian prayer back in the early part of 1976. Brent and I got saved in 1975, in May of 1975, in Chateau Creole Apartments in Pasadena, Texas, on Red Bluff Road. Accepted Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. And then subsequently after that, began to look for a church. Actually, it was a guy in the job witnessed to me, and I prayed the prayer of faith and accepted Jesus in my apartment after work one day in May of 1975. And we started going to a church that actually my uncle and aunt were there in Houston area, and they went to that church, so I went to that church, denominational church, and good people there. And we went there for a few months, and in November of 1975, we went to Lakewood Church to hear this man called Kenneth Hagin. Well, I'd never had heard of, but we went over to hear him nonetheless, because one of the ladies in our Bible study was in tune to Kenneth Hagin, had read some of his books, and actually was filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke with other tongues. And I thought she prayed very long when we'd pray. She was just, you know, she just seemed to worship longer. She seemed to pray longer. I love God. I was born again. I came out of drugs and jails and was changed, but I wasn't filled with the Holy Ghost. So we went to Lakewood Church and heard Kenneth Hagin, and I got baptized in the Holy Ghost that night. That was November of 1975. At Lakewood Church. And then after that, we started going to Lakewood. And that became our church. And in the early part of 1976, Brother Osteen taught a series. He was big on series. Taught a series on this Ephesian prayer. He taught this one, then he taught the one in the third chapter, which is another great prayer in Ephesians. And he challenged us to pray this prayer every day for 30 days. He talked about wisdom and revelation, which is what this is about. This prayer is about wisdom and revelation. Specifically, in context, it is what Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus. It's a good prayer to pray for a church. But you can take the truths are there, you can take it personally and pray it for yourself. And if there's anything you and I need, it's wisdom and revelation. You can dig in all the books you want to dig in. You can read all the books you want to read and get knowledge. But wisdom and revelation comes from God. And that's something that comes as you pray. It comes as you get close to the Lord. See, that's why you need the Spirit and the Word, and that's why the Spirit and the Word agree. If all you have is the Word, you'll dry up. If all you have is the moving of the Spirit, you'll blow up, because you need the direction of the Word and the dynamic of the Spirit, and you put them together, you'll grow up. So you can choose to dry up, blow up, or grow up. Hello. And we need to grow up. Amen? And it takes all that to make that happen. We need the direction of the Word. The Word rules. The Word defines boundaries. The Word tells us what is God and what is not God. Are you with me? And the Spirit reveals the Word. The movement of the Spirit reveals that. So we need gifts of the Spirit, and we need teaching of the Word. But everything's subject to God's Word. Got to have rules. Are you with me? And God has them. Hallelujah. Thank God for them. Are you with me? So you put all that together, and then you have a solid Christian walk and growth in the Lord. You're not going to grow in the Lord just reading the Word. You're not going to grow in the Lord as you should just praying. Are you with me? Or just being around the gifts and the moving of the Spirit. But you will grow in a mature manner if you put those two together. Hallelujah. So dig in the Word. Daily read it, study it, cherish it long after, and then pray that God will give you revelation. Revelation comes from the Spirit. Revelation doesn't come from being smart. Revelation doesn't come from doing detective work in the Bible and reading all the history books and books on culture. And hey, I mean, I do that. I'm telling you, I love that stuff. But I know that what I really know, I know by the Spirit. I know by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. By the assurance of the Spirit, by the revelation of the Spirit. And that's why I continue to read, even now after pastoring 30 years, read the Bible I don't know how many times, That's why I still read it every day. That's why I still enjoy the Word, because I know there's still things that I haven't had revealed to me. There are things that the Spirit can explode on the inside of me and take me in a direction that I've never been before. I want to go a little higher. I want to go to the next level in my walk with the Lord and in the church. Are you with me? So we need to be aware of these prayers that are in the Bible. And as I said before, Brother Osteen taught this series on this, and he said, if you would pray this prayer every day for 30 days, it'll change your life. Pray for wisdom. Pray for revelation. And he taught a series on it, and then I took it to heart, Brenda took it to heart, and we did just that. We did that in the early part of 1976, and it literally changed my life. You know, I really do lean on and depend on God to give me revelation. And I really do believe He will. I don't think I get it because I'm smart. I don't think I get it because I read a lot. I don't think I get it because anything in my natural or chemical makeup. I get it because I trust God to get it, because I look to Him to get it. You know, one of the first scriptures I ever got a hold of when I got saved was Proverbs 3:5. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding. That's a tough one, because, you know, we're too smart sometimes. I really think we are way too smart to get this. You can't be too dumb to get it, but you can be too smart. It's not many wise. You see, my brethren, how not many wise, not many noble, not many strong are called. For God has chosen weak things of this world, and foolish things of this world, and base things which are not, to do away with things which are. God delights in raising up, seemingly unlearned, ignorant and unlearned men, like Peter and John, and fill them with the Holy Ghost and take the world and turn it upside down. And He can do the same with you and me. So there's no excuse. Amen? You say, I hadn't had academically been trained. I hadn't. Well, you know, I believe in studying. I believe in education. I believe in all that. I think that's great. But it sure doesn't. If you can't get called by going to college. And you can't get anointed by just reading a lot. Are you with me? Whatever you do, whatever you had access to or didn't have access to, you have now access to the Holy Ghost. Amen. To reveal truth to you. Okay. Ephesians 1:15. Boy, I'm going to have to hurry. Y'all getting this? Helping you? Notice what it says, 15th verse, Paul speaking. He says, therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love to all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Now this kind of turns it all upside down for us when you think about it. Because when you look at it from this standpoint and you think about prayer in general, this is not the usual pattern for prayer. What do we normally do when we have prayer requests? We have people have a need, which is, now stay with me, we do pray for needs. The Bible tells us to do that. We will continue to do so. So I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm saying that's not the only time we should pray. We kind of have the idea that if someone's in financial need, we should pray. Yes, we should. And someone's sick, we should pray for healing. Yes, we should. But then if we're not careful, we'll quit praying for people who seemingly are doing okay. And we hear about someone doing great, they're off the list. We got a prayer list that we're just looking for results on here. You know, a sick person, a financial need, someone lost, and so on. Hello. And they should be on the list. I'm all for that. I think we ought to do that. But I think what's not on that list is just as important, too. People that are doing great. Churches that are rolling. Ministries that are reaching out. Oh, they don't need our prayers. They're doing great. You know what it says? Paul said, when I heard of your faith. I think a New Living Translation says great faith. Man, how great your faith. Strong faith, strong faith. Man, okay, somebody's got strong faith. He doesn't need our prayers. No. Paul heard of their strong faith and began to pray for them. Their love for the saints. Hey, that church, man, that is the lovingest church ever been. They just love everybody, and they just have a reputation for loving people. Well, don't pray for them. They're doing just fine. No. When you hear about them loving the saints, you ought to pray for them. And that's a good. See, that's a challenge for all of us, I think, is that we ought to think about. I know we pray for people who have needs and continue to do so. But do we pray for those that we. And see, it's almost wrong to say don't have needs because everybody has needs. I'll tell you, if you're doing good, you have needs. See, that was the problem with Peter. I always thought about it this way. I think I heard Kenneth Copeland say this years ago, 100 years ago. That was the problem with Peter when he walked on that water. You know, he said, Lord Jesus, if that's you, you know, bid me come. And he said, come. And so Peter got out of the boat and he walked on the water. But when he saw the waves and the wind, boisterous it says, King James Version, he began to sink and said, Lord, save me. And so Jesus reached down, picked him up, says, oh, you have little faith, wherefore did you doubt? It says he was afraid and began to sink. See, if you think that thing through, what was Peter thinking? Man, I wish this water was a little flatter. I could walk on it easier. Do you think flat water is easy to walk on? Let me give you a little information here. You can't walk on water without Jesus, period. It doesn't matter whether there's waves. It doesn't matter whether there's wind. And when he saw the wind and he saw the waves, he began to sink. Are you kidding me? It was physically impossible to do what he was doing. If it was just as smooth as glass, he couldn't have walked on it. And see, that's kind of the way we are. Things rock on here real good. There's no problems. Nothing's going on. We're not in church. We don't need to go to church. We don't need to give. We don't need to pray. We don't need to, because everything's just going fine. We don't realize it's God that's keeping us above the waters of life. Generally, when things go wrong, the waves start coming and the wind starts blowing, then we cry out to God, we're hurting, we got needs. But we don't realize we need God all the time. Are you out there? Don't ever think you don't need God. I've seen it over and over. I've seen people get in church with needs, get their needs met, and get out of church. I've seen people come in truly repentant and broken and so on and so forth, and whether it's a marital thing or whether it's a financial thing or a physical thing. And then, you know, God will start blessing them and they get their marriage back together or they get their finances straightened back out or they get healed and boom, they're gone. Yeah. Does that mean we need to pray problems on people? No, that's a fault in us and those people in all of us is that we're not discerning this thing as we should. We need God every day. Amen? Amen. Here's Paul praying for this church that obviously was doing great, faith-wise and love-wise, doing fine. But he still prayed for them, and he ceased not to give thanks for them, and he made mention of them in his prayers, and this is what he prayed. Here's a good prayer for church. You ought to pray this for our church. You ought to pray this for churches you hear that are doing great. And pray this for yourself. Excuse me. He prayed this. I need some water. Thank you, Jesus. I am healed. Top of my head, tip of my toe. And he said in the 17th verse, that. Everybody say that. Yes. So he's praying. He ceased not to give thanks and make mention of them in his prayers. That for this purpose, for this reason, that. Y'all see that? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom, revelation, and the knowledge of him. Hallelujah, somebody. Notice he didn't say, he'll give you more knowledge. No, you got to go dig knowledge up. That's your choice. You have to study to show yourself approved to God. You have to get in the Word meditating in day and night. That's your job. But revelation's God's job. And as you trust him, he'll give you revelation. I think it's significant here, too, when you look at this. He says, I'm praying for this for you. I'm praying for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Wisdom is the ability to use knowledge, that you'll know what to do with all that stuff you're learning and hear it. And then revelation, things that are hidden, things that are deep in there that you hadn't got yet. You know, no, you hadn't got it. You know, prayer will cause you to get it and catch it. You know, have you ever been reading something, studying something out of the Bible, you know, or meditating on something, or maybe it was a message or a CD you're listening to or a sermon you're listening to, and or you're reading something in particular, studying on a certain vein. And I don't know how it is with you, but with me, lots of times I'll kind of hit a stutter, a bump in my spirit, and I go, wow, you know, there's something there. There's something else there I'm not getting. I know there's something else there. I mean, I can't quite see it. It's just like an outline. I can see a form of it like I'm in a mist. You know, we see through a glass darkly, the Bible says. Countless times when that's happened to me, I start praying in tongues. Or, I pray in tongues a lot, but I'll just repeat the scripture that I'm getting a little something, but it's not real clear on. I'll start quoting it over and over and over. I remember Proverbs 15:2. I did that years ago. In fact, I remember where I was. We'd taken the kids to the zoo in Dallas, and we were coming back. And I don't know, it says, the tongue of the wise uses the knowledge of right. I'm King James. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge of right. The mouth of fools pours out foolishness. And I was looking at that, and I said, man, there's something there. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge of right. the tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright. So I just started saying it over and 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 thinking about it, meditating on it, praying in tongues and thinking about it, meditating. And it just came to me, and you've heard me preach this and teach this, but the tongue uses knowledge. That if you don't ever speak the word, it's unused knowledge. Now, you can use it right or use it wrong, just like we hear a lot about guns today. You know, guns don't kill people any more than pencils and pens misspell words. Are you out there? But you can use a gun right or you can use a gun wrong. You can use a knife right or use a knife wrong or whatever. And you can use knowledge right or you can use it wrong. Now, a wise person uses it right, but how does he use it? He uses it with his tongue. He watches what he says and how he says it. He goes on and says, a soft answer turns away wrath. You know, so the way you say things isn't just as important as what you say. That's wisdom. So anyway, that had jumped at me, and it was something I had missed, that unspoken knowledge is unused knowledge. The tongue uses knowledge, just like my hand picks up a hammer, my tongue picks up the word. And if you don't confess the word, you're not using the word. Now, I know you can act on it, and I know other ways. I'm just talking about confession in general here. But that's wisdom. That's revelation. Are you with me? I mean, you used to read across that and miss it, but all of a sudden, something comes alive, is revealed to you. That's why we need to pray for wisdom. Notice Paul didn't say, for this cause I teach, or for this cause I preach. No, he said, for this cause I pray. Because some things you can teach into people, some things you can preach into people, some other things you're going to have to pray into them. And even in your own life, for this cause I study, hello, for this cause I go to church, for this cause I pray. Studying won't take place of prayer. Studying won't do what prayer will do. Some things you're just not going to get into you until you pray it in you. Amen? Or some things you're not going to get out of you until you pray it out of you. So here's one thing that we can see very plainly, that prayer brings revelation. And it brings wisdom. So in my reading, in my studying, in my longing to know and understand, I need to be praying that God would grant to me the spirit of wisdom, revelation, and the knowledge of Him. And then he goes on and he says that the eyes of my understanding, I'm already making it personal here. He's saying that the eyes of your understanding, and by all means do make this personal, okay? I do it all. That's the way I pray. I say, God, I pray that you would grant me the spirit of wisdom, revelation, the knowledge of you, that the eyes of my understanding would be enlightened, that I might know what is the hope of my calling. Are you with me? And the riches of the glory and inheritance in the saints in me, because I'm a saint. What's in me, Lord? What's the riches of the glory and inheritance in me and in the church? What's the hope of my call? Lord, what is it? Amen. You know, that's a prayer we should pray. But he goes on, he says, that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened. Well, you got two sets of eyes, obviously. You can read it with these natural eyes. But are you getting it with your spiritual eyes? There's two ways of looking at things. You know, 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal or temporary, and the things which are not seen, they are eternal. Remember Elisha? You know, when they came after Elisha and his servant Gehazi, I came up to him and he said, man, he said, there's armies everywhere, what are we going to do? And he said, Lord, open his eyes. And the Bible says God opened his servant's eyes and the hills were filled with angels, with chariots. And I mean, that's two ways of looking at things. There's a lot more for us than there are against us. You say, well, the devil's against me and all his cohorts and all those fallen angels. Hey, a third fell, two-thirds didn't. If you just want to count heads, they're outnumbered 2-1. But just forget all that. If God be for you, who can be against you? Wouldn't matter if all the angels fell, if God's for you. Amen? Lord, open my spiritual eyes. Give me wisdom. And give me a revelation. Hallelujah. You need to be praying for that. Asking God to give you that. To be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. Hallelujah. Okay. The eyes of your understanding would be enlightened. And that you may know what is the hope of his calling. And what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Hallelujah. You know, you and I are heirs to this thing. And heirs to... living heirs of someone who's already died and gone before us. and kind of unique, he rose again. We're celebrating that this weekend. You know, we ought to celebrate every day. This coming Sunday is Resurrection Sunday. You know, what I call Resurrection Sunday. You know, we often say Easter, and it does say that in the Bible, but I think sometimes we get it all mixed up with, you know, colored eggs and candy eggs and Peter Cottontail hopping down a bunny trail. And really, it's about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Are you with me? With that didn't happen, you and I are dead in our sins. That's what Paul said. So, you know, we're talking about someone who left us an inheritance and rose again. That's never happened. Rose again to make it good. Yeah, you know, it wouldn't be neat. You're having the reading of the will. You got a lawyer over here, and he's interpreting the will for you and telling you what the will says. You have representation, the lawyer, and telling you what is in the will and what is yours. That'd be pretty good representation. You should do that in some cases. Sometimes wills have to be probated. Sometimes they're contested. But in this case, Jesus not only rose again to make sure it got done, but he's also our lawyer. He's our advocate, our lawyer, and he's the one that wrote the will. So there's no confusion here, are you with me? And we are alive living out this inheritance. And it's not just eternal life. It's not that. It's more than all that. So I think many times we're waiting around until we die to get our inheritance. Well, how crazy would that be? Mama passed away and left you all that money. Daddy passed away and left you all that money. Boy, I can't wait till I die to get it. No, they died. And you got it. Grandmama left me all that money, and Granddaddy left me all that money. Boy, when I die, I'm going to have a high time. What do you mean? No. You're confused here. They left you an inheritance. You're alive. Now, we have an inheritance. We're alive. So what are we waiting to die to get our inheritance for? What are you talking about? We're supposed to have that now. That's why we need insight and wisdom into this thing, so we'll know what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance. Where is it? In the saints. Whoa. In the saints. That's me. That's you. That's all of us. This inheritance is in us. Man, we're spending our whole life as a Christian. I will tell you, if you're doing this thing right, and I don't always do it right. Sometimes I'm on mark. Sometimes I'm off mark. But when I'm on mark and doing it right, I am really working out my salvation. Amen. Not working for it. I'm working it out. Because it's all in me. It's all been in me since I accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in May of 1975 in Chateau Creole Apartments on Red Bluff Road in Pasadena, Texas. Amen. And ever since then, since May of 1975, I've been working this out of me. I've been digging in there and pulling out these riches. Oh, wow, I didn't know that was in. Oh, that is awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I didn't know that. That's awesome. I've been trying to pull. The eyes of my understanding have been going off like light bulbs. Oh, yes, you have an aha moment. Oh, I see it. That's when you're in a service and you go, yeah! You want to stand up on a chair and shout. Swing from the chandeliers if we had any. What happened? You got a revelation. You got insight. Insight shined on the inside of you. Amen. And the eyes of your understanding were enlightened. And you got it. Now, see, that's more than just your spirit. That's your mind also. I really believe that because it's all in your spirit. The whole thing is trying to get the revelation out of it into your head, into your mind. That's why you have to renew your mind. When you get a revelation, it connects with your mind. Because that's why you say, I see it. Because you see it. Now you can articulate it. You can explain it. You can share it because you got it. You got it up here. It was always in here. But it never had broke loose yet, see? That's why you keep hammering at it. That's why you keep praying. That's why you keep coming. That's why you keep reading. That's why you keep meditating. So that thing, because you're getting closer to it, it's starting to take a little form now. That little bump in your spirit, that little outline is starting to take on a little detail, and the mist and the fog are starting to separate, and all of a sudden this thing becomes clear because you finally get close enough to it that you see it. Some people say, well, I've heard that before. Well, I probably need to hear it several times. If you're like me, I got to hear it many, many times to really get it. And if you hadn't heard it that many times, you wouldn't have got it when you got it. Nobody gets a revelation for the first time. Nobody gets it from first hearing it. You get it because you've heard it before. didn't realize, didn't think about it. You start connecting the dots. The pieces start coming together. You finally heard enough where you got it. Are you with me? That's why we need to hear it over and over and over. That's why we need guest ministers coming through, as it were, you know, and teach on different subjects and so on and so forth. Because you'll hear it here. You'll hear me say it one way and somebody say it another way. But, you know, all of a sudden, boom, that thing come alive. Because you finally heard enough to get it. Amen. Praise God. Prayed enough, believed enough, sought God enough, as it were. Okay, so he goes on and says this. I may have to pick this up next week. Man, I am hesitant to even start that next verse. Let's don't do that. Let's pick that up next week. Hey, I love that. Start a series. Now you got to be back next week to finish this message. No guarantee even there. I may stretch it out two more weeks. But I think there's enough chew on already if you'll think about just insight and revelation. You want revelation of God's Word? You want wisdom? You know, knowledge has been said is the accumulation of information. That's just piling up books. I got lots of them. Piling up facts. I can quote all kinds of facts. But now wisdom is not the accumulation of it. It's the application of it. In other words, wisdom is the ability to use knowledge. I guarantee you I can't use 90% of what I know right now. What I've read, what I can quote, what I can say. I don't have that kind of wisdom. But if I just use 10% of what I know, if you just use 10% of what you know, if you just apply 10% of what you know about God, you already know enough to get healed, get a miracle, get someone saved. Are you with me? There's so much we know already if we just apply it. And then as you do that, as you put to work what you have studied, because you have wisdom now and insight, God will give you more insight. So if you're faithful in the little, he puts you over the much, pure and simple. All action, the end of all action, the end of all knowledge is action. The end of all of God's Word is for the purpose of being done. Be doers of the Word, not hearers only. So sometimes we want to spend a lot of time accumulating. We don't really spend a lot of time praying and say, God, what do you want me to do this? What do you want me to do this? How do I need to apply this in my life? What do I need to change my life? Who do I need to reach out to? What do I need to do? You know, that's wisdom, man. We need that. Amen. And that comes from praying.